I've always loved kicking back with a great cigar, especially as the weather cools down. It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch the game, or just enjoy a fall evening outside. And when it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International is my go-to. They've got everything. Whether I'm looking for a classic favorite or trying something new, Cigars International never disappoints. Cigars International is the go-to retailer for all things cigars, with the biggest selection of premium handmade cigars available anywhere. Cigars International also offers unbeatable deals and discounts, making it easy to stock up on your favorites or try something new without breaking the bank. With fast shipping, their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence, knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. They got great relationships with their vendors that help provide great low prices. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International's make it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. It's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more. Visit CigarsInternational.com today and explore their incredible selection of premium cigars and unbeatable deals. For our listeners only, they are giving you 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping when you use the code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. That is CigarsInternational.com and use the code DRINKINGBROS at checkout for 20% off $50 or more and free shipping. Whether you're looking for the perfect fall cigar or just want to explore something new, Cigars International has you covered.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Drinking Bros Monday Morning Recap, brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Get off the couch, getting into the action today with MyBookie.com. Put the hurting on MyBookie this week. My God, dude. Close to 12 grand. We'll get to that in a minute. Thank you, Papa Trump. Thank you to Dan Holloway for picking that popular vote as well. Best weekend of football. Not just college, but NFL games all the way around. It felt like a goddamn 48-hour party, and it was awesome. We'll start with the NFL. Chiefs do it again. I've never seen a lazier team just continue to win. And the one play that they decided to actually try on, they blocked a high school extra point. Not an NFL extra point, a high school one.
35-yard field goal. Let's get rid of this narrative that the Chiefs don't try. That's just not the case. It's the NFL. It's, you know, the Broncos kind of have this history of always giving the Chiefs a really tough time.
That's their primary rival.
But also, it's like I said at the beginning of the year, if the Chiefs are now winning the games where they're sloppy and usually lost in the past, which appears to be the case, the whole league is fucked.
But every game is sloppy every single week for the Chiefs. Every single one. Like, there has been no real dominant performance out of these guys. And it's not like Mahomes is lighting the world on fire. His numbers this year are... is he even in the top 15 in quarterbacks? He's 12 touchdowns and 9 interceptions.
He's winning, baby. He's just fucking winning.
He is?
Yeah, I mean, Tom Brady didn't lead the league in much. And I think that's what... We talk a lot about how Mahomes was born on third base, and to some degree it's true. He came into the league, and within a year and a half, he had of actually starting. He had Tyreek Hill, Andy Reid, and Travis Kelce. Okay.
Plus back then, Kareem,
Kareem Hunt was back. Elite.
Kareem Hunt, yeah.
Kareem, like prime Kareem
Hunt. He was elite back then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And fair enough, and they won some, but you know what? When the big games came, they didn't get over the hump. They lost, what, two?
Just one.
No, no, no.
They you and I were at the AFC, AFC Championship.
They won the Super Bowl the next year.
Yeah, and then they won the Super Bowl the next year. So, but then they lost again.
They lost the Super Bowl to Tom Brady again.
With another very good fucking offensive team because they didn't have an offensive line. Well, this year their left tackle is basically not there. So they're working around it. But Mahomes is smarter now than he was. Andy Reid is he's been allowed to do what he's really good at, which is manage whatever players you put in front of him. He might be the best I've ever seen at it, actually. Even better than Belichick, I think. Because I don't know that he doesn't just play like they have a great defense this year, but it from year so Belichick for that whole run, except for I guess the Randy Moss year, it was defense, tight ends, run the ball, control the clock, and then maybe throw a couple touchdown passes. Great special teams, right? Very disciplined. This Chiefs team is different every fucking year.
Yep.
And they still win. I think that at the end of the day, Reed's going to go down as the best coach ever.
We also like get our brains fucked up because with Brady, Mahomes is like the inverse of Brady, right? Mm. Like Brady started out as like a game manager and kind of dinking and dunking, and but like you wanted him for the big drive, and then 5 or 6 years in, he started to put up numbers. And we're like, oh shit, I didn't know Tom Brady could do this. Mahomes is the exact opposite. Mahomes comes in the league, is throwing fucking 80-yard bombs to Tyreek Hill and shit, and we're like still expecting that, but now he's just doing... All he cares about is winning the game. He's just doing what he needs to do to win. It's not as sexy.
Yeah, but. And if you look at that from a metric standpoint, and I'm sure they have because it's a new era in professional sports, the frequency with which you can actually complete those big chunk plays that end in touchdowns in one single game is quite a bit lower than the ability to just run the ball, short pass, and get first down after first down. Now, we keep saying that the Chiefs are playing sloppy, but they're not. There's not a bunch of penalties and turnovers, so they're not playing sloppy. They're playing tight, right? They're playing slow and tight. So
Mahomes himself, though, has had a ton of picks. And look, they only put up 16 points on the board here.
For him, he's had a ton of picks, yeah.
Yeah, but what they're doing at 9-0, in today's NFL, it's almost impossible to go 9-0. Like, I mean, it's really hard. I remember the Eagles, I think, started 10-1. Was that last year, Delco?
Were they 10-0? Or were they 10-1?
10-1.
10-1, yeah. I mean, it's really hard, but here's how great these games were. We'll start with the Thursday night game. Bengals-Ravens, one-point game. 35-34, one of the most exciting games we've had. Probably since the Ravens, even on a Thursday night, since they started on the Thursday nights against the Chiefs when that guy's toe was out of bound. Because remember that?
Oh, yeah.
They would have lost that game, the Chiefs would have.
The Chiefs have only won two games by more than one possession.
Yeah.
And two of the games, like last night, they easily could have lost that game. Should have. But, and the game with the toe, probably should have lost that one as well. Right? But that would just put them...
7-2.
Tied with Detroit Lions.
I know.
That would just make them tied with Detroit for the best team in the league right now, which we think those are the two best teams, I think. Baltimore is in that conversation, but execution-wise, from the first to the fourth quarter, Kansas City and the Lions are the only ones that are doing it.
I would just be worried at anyone playing the Lions, including the Chiefs. Like, there's no... The Lions are in peak, like, try as hard as you fucking can mode, and, man, like, there's no... You're just not going to, like, out... effort
that comeback last night was phenomenal.
Well, they believe in Dan Campbell.
Yeah,
that's a difference, right? I mean, we can see when you don't believe in a coach like Mike McCarthy, for example.
Yep.
what happens there? You can lose, and even Sirianni at the end of last year. You know, it's impressive. It's impressive what Dan Campbell's done in Detroit. I mean, there's not a whole lot to hope for in Detroit. They had. From 03 to 06 with the Pistons, right? That group that won a title and did pretty well for that stretch. Aside from that, Miggy won the Triple Crown in 2013, I think.
I mean, Detroit was kind of title town in hockey in the 90s,
late 90s. Late 90s, actually all the way up to about, I think they won their last one in 07, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I was in college. Yeah, they beat Crosby and the Pens. Yeah. So then
they lost to Crosby and the Pens in 08, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so, yeah.
I think it was back-to-back years. But yeah, it's been a bleak 15 years or so for that city. And, you know, good for them, man.
Yeah.
I mean, this I don't remember. It's not even the last 15 years. For the Lions specifically, this is the first time ever
Yeah.
That I've considered them a contender for anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Down by 10. Yeah, been down by 10 going into the fourth, holding them scoreless. Mm-hmm. And look, Texans have a high-powered offense.
Yeah. I mean, they're missing pieces, right?
They are. Nico well, I mean, no. He's not. He's out for the year.
Someone Nico's out. Fucking Stephon Diggs is out.
Stephon Diggs is out for the year. Nico Collins is out for the year. But here's the weird thing. They're stacked in wide receivers.
Yeah.
And they have two great starters.
That's because this is the same team that he had last year.
Yes.
They just added. I mean, they lost Nico, but they just added Stephon Diggs.
And Joe Mixon.
Yeah,
Mixon's had a good year.
Man, he's lighting it up. He might be the best running back in the league right now other than Saquon. I don't know if he
well Derrick Henry.
We'll see on that. Derrick Henry is benefiting a lot from having Lamar Jackson on his team.
Yeah,
as another runner. I mean, now you mentioned the Bills. They're playing really well. They're beating all the teams they should beat, which is like
the Colts with Joe Flacco. You should win that game.
Colts, Dolphins, Seahawks, Titans, Jets. All those games you got to win. Those games they all suck, but they did right. That's the difference. You still got to beat. I mean, the fucking Chiefs just barely beat. Denver last night, and Denver fucking sucks.
Yeah.
So, you know, the only teams they've lost to are the Ravens and at the Texans. Those are two hard games, right?
Those are two totally acceptable losses.
Yep, 100%.
So you'll find
there are no real impressive wins for the Bills, but they're beating the teams they're supposed to.
But that's the Bills play the Chiefs this weekend.
Yeah, so that's a fun game.
That's going to be awesome, and then we can see what happens there.
Also, they beat the first place Arizona Cardinals.
let's
relax on that. Here's where it gets tough for the Bills. They got the Chiefs, 49ers after that. Rams, if Rams are healthy, they're not terrible. At the Lions, that's going to be a tough game. And then they come home with Patriots, Jets. Patriots,
that's a tough game for them, though.
They're in, but they could be a two seed.
They're going to win their division for sure.
Oh, they've clinched that thing already.
We'll see what happens with Kansas City. I don't think it really behooves them in any way to try to win every single game. I don't think they're thinking about it. I mean, obviously, you want to win every game.
If it comes down to, let's say they're 16-0, do you think they go for it, or they bench their starters?
You have to go for it.
I think so, too.
You have to go.
I wouldn't.
Don't tempt fate like that.
I would. I'm with you.
Yeah. Well, tempting fate would be going for it and getting somebody hurt.
But also, like, it's just...
It's more about setting yourself up for the playoff. If everybody's healthy, then, yeah, let them go play.
They don't have to worry about it. They're going to lose this week.
To the
they
Bills.
Might, so they might.
Yeah, but it's at Buffalo.
I know. They're going to lose because they lose to the Bills in the regular season.
Keep in mind, that's not like this. That travel's not... Like this, it's like this, right? That's a 3.5 hour flight.
And the other part too is you can only, and this is what I said about Georgia. You can University of Georgia. You can only have weeks like this where you're barely hanging on before you do get beat. So yeah, I could absolutely see the Bills winning this week. But as far as these games went in the NFL, you had a 1-point game on Thursday night. It was a must win for the Bengals. In my opinion, they lost. They're now 4-6, so they really got to fucking win out. Pretty much the end of the season here. That shitty Giants-Panthers game was a field goal. Broncos-Chiefs was 2 points. Saints-Falcons was 3 points. 49ers-Buccaneers was 3 points. Steelers-Redskins was 1 point. Vikings-Jaguars, 5 points. Lions-Texans, 3 points. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, they were awesome slate of games all day long.
I've told you this before, though. Like, people's records in one-score games, it's an inflated stat because every NFL game is a one-score game. Mm.
It's getting closer and closer, and I guess that's what I wanted to ask you guys is why. Because there used to be a lot more blowouts in the past. Why are these games so close and these spreads so close?
Better athletes, better tape, better ingredients, better pizza,
Papa John's. Yeah.
The NFL's always close.
Yeah, the average
an 8-point. Like whenever it's a double-digit dog in the NFL, it's crazy.
That's crazy. Anything over 6 is crazy.
But him and I have been hosting the sports show forever. There used to be like 16-point spreads, 17-point spreads.
Go back and look at the numbers. It's not true.
Well, I know, but our spreads that we had to cover on the show were huge.
Spreads used to be higher for sure.
There was a spread that you and I did that was 24 one time. And it was like, what the fuck is going on? So
yeah, you can look. I'd have to look over the years and see if it's changed. But the last time I looked, the average margin of victory in the NFL is like 4.2 points or something like that. That's average, which means that there's a lot of field goal 1-2-3 point games. But that means as many 1-2-3 point games, there's going to be fucking 6-7-8 point games as well, right? So that's how averages work. So you know. You should expect to see some of them. You don't see blowouts as much, I don't think, anymore. And I don't know if that's – maybe it's because teams don't have any – they don't want to do that anymore. You know, you take your guys out or something. I don't know. But you don't see quarterbacks come out with a huge lead that much anymore.
There was only two blowouts this weekend. And in my opinion, both these teams have given up for the year anyways. And it was Cowboys, Jets. 34-6. Cowboys have given up on the season. They have given up on this coach. They're all fucking done. And the same with the Jets. Aaron Rodgers has just poisoned that entire team. And they just do not want to play for that fucking guy. So, like, those are the two blowouts we really saw. Everything else, though, was pretty tight for the rest of it.
I would call the Patriots-Bears a blowout. 19-3 doesn't look like a blowout on paper necessarily, but that was that game was a blowout. If the
both
Patriots
of those teams, and I didn't watch it. I didn't watch. That was the one game I didn't watch.
If the Patriots had one wide receiver, anybody that's a fucking tier one wide receiver, not the most elite in the league, but like a Stephon Diggs, anybody like that in that range, this game, they would have won this game by 30 points.
Drake May quietly doing his thing.
He is. He really is, man.
And then Caleb Williams
with
quietly.
No help. With no help there. Yeah.
Doing his thing.
And Caleb Williams has help. Drake May has no help on this team.
Caleb Williams, this is exactly what I said. Not that he was going to fail, but why? He's no heart. No heart at all. And he's not fast enough. The same reason they let go of Justin Fields is because he didn't read progressions fast enough. Caleb Williams got used to in college being able to run around and give himself 4 to 6 seconds to find an open receiver. This ain't fucking college, bud.
You will never.
It doesn't. Offensive line doesn't matter.
He was 16 of 30 in this game for 120 yards.
He will never be successful in the NFL until he reads progressions a quarter second at a time.
Speaking of Justin Fields, Russell Wilson's back.
Yeah.
He looks great. Yeah.
He looks great. He's a game manager.
He's finally got a fucking coach.
Yeah.
That's like, he
had one in Seattle.
Seattle was, perfectly fine in Seattle. They just kind of went their separate ways and he got angry. Everybody's butt hurt. He's a bitch. He's a diva. So whatever. But he's finally back to a coach who's like, okay, Russell's good at these three things. I'm going to only have him do these three things.
And Sean Payton.
He's not throwing any picks. I think he threw his first pick in like 170 attempts last night.
Sean Payton hated him.
Sean Payton's a good coach.
And I don't know that he set him up for success. I mean, it seemed like Sean Payton wanted him out of there day one.
I agree with that.
He was gone. I think Sean Payton is a good coach. Look, he was done with Bo Nix, for Christ's sakes.
Bo Nix.
But I just think they personally hated each other. I don't know what it was, but... Steelers are what, 7-2 now?
Yeah, they look good. Hopefully, Highsmith went down with an ankle sprain late in the game. Hopefully, he's not out for any extended period of time because that was a very violent ankle sprain.
Thanks for beating the Commanders, though. First place,
the Redskins,
Eagles.
Yeah,
Redskins
are 7-3 though.
Man, dude, the Redskins defense
they played a great game.
Their defense is so much better than I thought it was.
By the way, the odds right now, I fucking love this. The Steelers Super Bowl odds are 28-1.
It's not terrible. Because they got a great defense.
All you need is
another... No, I'm saying, how are they that low?
Like, yeah,
I know.
That's crazy.
Low. However you want to say it.
Yeah.
Because here's the danger.
They should be like 50. Yeah, but they should be like 50.
Here's the danger. Buffalo is not known for winning in the clutch. And then the other team, Kansas City, one more injury on their offensive line, and they're going to have the same problems they had in 22.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to get smoked. Mm. So... sprinkle that 28-1 for the Steelers.
It's not
sprinkle
bad.
That.
It's fucking
for sure.
It's a great. They have a proven winning quarterback. They've got good weapons on offense. A fucking insane defense. Even with Watt out, right? Watt's gone.
Highsmith.
Highsmith rolled his ankle. I don't think he'll. Well, let's see. Do they have play this week?
It looked bad.
They could beat the Chiefs.
They play the Ravens.
They could easily beat the Chiefs.
They play the Ravens at home this weekend. They'll probably lose that. To be honest. Even at home, that's a close game. One and two. If Highsmith's out, that's a problem.
It's just a rough. I mean, that's just a good fucking team. That might be even more than the Ravens, just because like Lamar's got to win at some point.
Yeah, and then then after that they've got at Browns. That's a win. At Bengals, that's probably a win too. They'll have given up by then probably. Browns again, and then at Eagles. That's a fucking great game. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Pittsburgh or the Philly series. Jesus Christ.
Pennsylvania. Yeah. Pennsylvania.
Words, man.
There you go, dude.
Keystone.
There you go, dude. Yeah, Pennsylvania.
And then they go at Ravens and then Chiefs, Bengals to end the year. At Ravens and then Chiefs back. Or so Eagles, Ravens, Chiefs.
That's
holy
a
shit.
Nightmare.
Whose is that?
That's Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So win while you can. So maybe Highsmith does come back and play the Ravens this week. There's been no word on that, by the way. I haven't heard anything. He just looking at it, it looked
same. I watched
it looked
that
like
game.
It might be a high sprain, to be honest.
So we'll find out what happens there. We'll switch over to college. Excellent weekend worth of games there. Bob, we're going to start with you.
Yeah.
SMU.
First place.
SMU is now first place, undefeated. I told you Georgia Tech would win. I told you, I go watch for Haynes King. If he plays, they win, it is over. SMU's Miami is done.
Only loss, too, is the top 10 team.
Yeah.
Yep.
Georgia Tech is a good team. I just didn't think the ACC refs would allow that to happen. But unfortunately for Miami, they didn't keep it close enough to rig.
They did.
And it was too big to rig.
Cam Ward fumbled at the end, and there was nothing you could do there. So
even then, it was too big to rig, I think.
Well, who do they play then? Like, I don't really follow the ACC.
Oh, the SMU?
Yeah.
They lost. Their only loss is to BYU by like 2 points or something like that, right? It was really close.
But they're undefeated. They're undefeated in
BYU's
ACC.
Top 10 now. Seventh, I think.
Yeah, because they had a last-second field goal. They should have lost that game.
They should. We should talk about that in a minute, because Utah's DC or Utah's athletic director went fucking bananas.
And he should have. Yeah. I watched that and it was pissed off.
I actually was angry at how much sleep I lost watching that. Like, I could have gone to bed like 2 hours earlier. And same. I was like, no, I'll stay up.
I was pissed off, too. I was up. I was like, God damn. I had money on it. But who would SMU play then?
In what, the championship?
Miami still.
Probably. Miami still. Yeah, okay. Miami's still in the driver's seat. They only
Clemson.
Have one. What?
Clemson's only got one loss, too.
They have two ACC losses, right?
Yep.
No,
they have two their losses. First loss is against Georgia.
Yeah,
you're two right.
Clemson also, and but they don't play each other.
No, but Clemson has to play Pitt.
Who lost again this
week? I know.
Yeah.
Dude, just... watch out for these fucking ponies, dude.
Yeah, the ponies, dude, are riding high
Parks
there.
I highly recommend, if you guys have not done, I know you two haven't, great tailgating scene at SMU on the Boulevard in the Park Cities.
Okay.
Very, very, sort of like a Grove Light, you could call it.
All right.
Listen, they deserve to win the ACC.
Where is it?
To pay to be in.
It's in the richest part of Dallas. It's like right in the middle of Park City.
Oh, shit. Okay.
It's where fucking Stafford and Kershaw and half the guys in the PGA are from.
Highland Park.
Yeah, it's literally, in University Park, which is next to Highland Park.
Gotcha. Oregon looked great. Ohio State didn't play anybody, so it doesn't really matter there. Called this Georgia loss on the show. They got two losses.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's got two losses.
The SEC is pure chaos.
Are they? Yeah, what do we do here? Because it doesn't get easy. They got Tennessee Saturday night.
They're going to beat Tennessee.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about Tennessee.
Also, yeah, because that'll, we need to add to the chaos. So Georgia's going to make another two losses.
There's going to be like four, maybe even six, 10-2 SEC schools.
There could.
So who gets it? Because, all right, so let's say you guys are right and Georgia beats Tennessee, which I actually think will happen as well. We'll bet on that.
If Georgia beats Tennessee, it'll be probably Texas and A&M.
Mm-hmm. But they play each other the last game of the year, so one of them is going to lose.
A&M only has one.
Texas only has
one conference loss.
Yes. But that'll push the other one into two losses.
Yeah, that'll be like a knockout game.
It will be, probably.
Yes.
But I don't know who they would be knocking out to get who else in. If Tennessee loses to Georgia, then everybody's got two losses except for A&M and Texas.
Man, we did this a couple weeks ago, and I think the number one indicator is like strength of schedule or something like that. The number one is tiebreakers, head-to-heads, and number two is strength of conference schedule. And then so the two teams with the best records against the teams with the best records, I think, get in.
So if Texas doesn't beat A&M, Georgia will fucking hop them and be in the title game.
Probably, yeah.
Not probably. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
That should be the case, yeah.
Yeah. Man, that's going to be a wild one. Holy shit.
This is the most fucked up SEC I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
It's loaded.
Well, there's years.
There's nobody that's that dominant there is the problem.
No, they're just all really good. Like a fucking South Carolina is dope.
Way better than people realize.
Yeah.
South Carolina in the Big Ten might be doing Indiana things.
Yes.
Like, truly. That's how good South Carolina is. But the problem is, so this is how the SEC is every year, but there's still they're lacking the Death Star team.
Right.
Here we go.
Right.
Here we go. So far in 2024,
usually they have it.
Yes.
Usually it's an Alabama or a Georgia.
This is conferences out of conference records this year. ACC is 9-9, including 2-5 against the SEC. Big 12 is 5-9 out of conference.
Let's
Big
go.
10 is 7-9 out of conference. Pac-12 is 3. Pac-12.
Yeah, it was only two.
Yeah. Yeah. SEC, 10-5 out of conference.
Yeah.
That's the difference. They're better than everybody else. I mean, and the data
shows
it. As a
conference as a whole, for sure. Absolutely.
Yep. The depth is insane.
Like, I don't think South Carolina.
It's the depth of it.
I don't think South Carolina or Vanderbilt or even A&M or some team like that beats Oregon or Ohio State. That's
retarded.
Not them.
Okay.
However, Penn State, probably. Yeah, I could see a Vandy or a South Carolina or a fucking A&M knocking out Penn State for sure.
Yeah.
That's so this is the thing I always joke about with the SEC, how it's so fucking frustrating. It's like every once in a while, I've said this on the show before, Mizzou will get like a good recruiting class and be like, oh, sick, we're 17th in the country, and then we're still fucking 10th in the SEC.
Yeah. But the problem is you added a Texas to an Oklahoma to an already like an already stacked conference.
I mean, the Big 12 isn't that far behind because you're seeing big improvement from some of these universities I never thought would be good at football. Indiana, for example.
Yeah, but the coaches have to stay. Yeah. They've got to get them money. I don't think Deion stays.
Well, nobody cares about the Big 12, to be honest. No. The Big 12.
Well, I do want Colorado to make it.
I do too, most interesting. It's a fun team to watch.
Well, you want to see fucking Shadour and Travis Hunter in the and play.
This is their last year. Yeah. I just want to see what would happen.
They control their own
destiny
now.
However we feel about Shadour, he and Travis Hunter are two of the best players in the country, right? You want to see
and
them
they're fun to watch.
Yeah, you want to see them in prime time.
Iowa State has two conference losses. Kansas State has two conference losses. So Colorado wins and they're in the Big 12 championship.
Yep. 100%.
That's so funny.
I mean, they're right there because Iowa State lost back-to-back weeks.
Yeah. This is the thing. The Big 12 is sort of like a shittier version of the SEC in which there's no, like, tippy-top team, but it's got great depth.
Mm. But Colorado also has dudes that are playing now that didn't play at the beginning of the season on defense and stuff that they're starting to, like, mesh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're starting to get hot.
They won three in a row. Cougars, however, the BYU Cougs.
I don't have to worry.
I don't know if they're going to beat them.
BYU's not that good.
They're not that good. They should have lost.
They got fucked.
That
was such a soft ass holding call.
God.
I mean,
it was so late too that it was like everybody was celebrating, and I was like, wait, is there a fucking flag here?
And I want to be totally clear here about the Big 12 as a former fan of Big 12 team. If there's one conference that can. Again, I'm not conspiracy, but if there's one conference that has the best case at doing this regularly, it is the Big 12. Now, it used to be typically just for Texas or Oklahoma, the two blue bloods in the conference. But this is just in this situation would just be protecting their interests, right? Like making sure they have as many good teams as possible. Like the Big 12 has a history of really questionable shit, really questionable calls to help whatever their interest as a top of the conference at the top of the conference would be. This includes the infamous when Texas went to the national championship game in 2009.
There's a Dominica Sue game.
Yeah, there's a very good argument that they should have lost that game against Nebraska, and they got bailed out by the refs on a Colt McCoy throwaway that they like had to go and review, and they're like, oh no, the second the ball crosses the line, it's out of bounds. And they went back and reviewed it. No one had ever seen them review something like that before. Just did Texas a little favor.
Yeah, they did. Nah. They did.
Right now, Colorado is leading the Big 12 in scoring, and they're tied for fourth in points allowed. Mm-hmm. That's surprising to me.
Yeah.
Because it's been another.
Their whole year has been surprising. I think if you go back and check the tape from our pre-prediction show, I think all of us had them at four wins total for the year.
Yep.
Let's talk about Georgia here, because Carson Beck was the Heisman favorite going into this year. He was also supposed to be number one pick in the draft. He's thrown 15 interceptions in the last three games here.
I'm just trying things out.
Is he forced to come back? And what do you do with him on this team now? Because they can't score any points at all.
I can't believe for a program that recruits as well as that, how bare they let the cupboard get. In the receiver position.
It's because they spend all their money on linebackers and offensive and defensive line.
Yep.
Need something there.
But we know that behind the scenes, and it's like, dude, I think that kid is almost forced to come back now for another year. His draft stock is in the toilet. Like, you can't do it. So I think he might come back there. Is Georgia out, you think, this year?
No.
Okay.
They beat Tennessee this week.
What if they lose to Tennessee this week? Are they out?
Yeah. Then they're out. Okay. They're done.
If they lose to Tennessee, they're done. But if they beat Tennessee, they get the tiebreaker over them. They already have it over Texas. If A&M loses again, I don't know how it would work between them and A&M if A&M loses to Texas.
Well, but say they don't even play in the SEC championship, but they're 10-2. They're going to put Georgia in.
Yeah.
Well, so let me ask you this. At three losses, is there going to be a three-loss team that makes the final 12?
The only way a three-loss team makes the final 12 is if they win their conference championship.
But even then, it's the top four conference champions. So probably not.
So top five.
Top five?
Yes. So
maybe. Outside shot.
Let's say there's almost no chance just because a three-loss team isn't probably going to get into their conference championship.
At this point, though.
Yeah, so no. A three-loss team's not going to make it.
Man, that's
not anytime soon, but you can see.
You're right. I'm looking at the.
You can see 2 or 3 years from now when the SEC and Big Ten have taken all of the talent. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe then.
Maybe then. Yeah, Miami lost to Georgia Tech there. Florida got rocked by Texas. Penn State won for their whiteout game. Tennessee rolled. Michigan, Indiana. All right. Look, this is the first time Indiana's had to play a real defense this year. Mm-hmm. Granted, Michigan is terrible in offense. This game was very, very close. This was 20-15 here.
It was 20-3 at one point, right? And then Michigan slowly kind of clawed their way back.
17-3 at one point, and then, yeah, they clawed their way back there. But, look, Michigan's always had a great defense here.
Sometimes you're going to win games like that, you know? Can't win every game by 30.
No. It makes me happy, though, for the game in 2 weeks, though, looking at that defense. looking at BYU, Utah, they got boned there. Shitty call at the end. God damn it, Florida State is 1-9.
Yep. So fucking bad.
1-9.
I know.
I mean, it's almost impossible to say that.
They were undefeated last year.
Undefeated.
Yeah.
And they're 1-9 right now.
Lost everyone in the NFL, brought in a bunch of transfers. I guess that doesn't work.
No.
No. Deion Sanders will be on line one here. Alabama LSU called this one. Alabama dismantled them up there. I mean, this game was never fucking close.
Yeah, LSU is just all fucking over the place this year. I don't know what their deal is. LSU, by the way, out.
Yeah,
they're out, right?
They're out.
Yeah, got three losses, they're gone. Boise was able to barely pull this out against Nevada.
Nevada's tough.
It was a 25-point spread, though.
I know, Nevada's tough.
They lost, they lost by a touchdown.
Nevada gave the Ponies a game earlier this year, too.
Mm-hmm. Genty had 209 yards, three TDs. More importantly, 34 fucking carries because he had to because the game was close.
I don't know that he cares, man.
Genty?
Like, he seems to get strong. He's like, Mahomes is like this, too. So look at Mahomes' numbers, first, second, and third quarter versus his numbers in the fourth quarter. His numbers in the fourth quarter are a good season for any other player. A career season for any other player just in the fourth quarter. Genty's like that, too. He doesn't slow down as the game goes on.
Well, with Cam Ward,
he's more like Derrick Henry, actually, as a running back.
He's a big dude.
As the game goes on, he just starts leaning forward a little bit more, and good fucking luck. If that dude gets into the secondary, I think most people are just like, you know what? I don't know if this is worth it.
Well, I mean,
if Cam Ward, let me ask you this. Now that Cam Ward had a shitty game,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Is Genty the guy who wins the Heisman?
It's still going to be like Dylan Gabriel or something.
Gabriel's still got good, really good stats.
This is going to be quite a split ticket, though.
Yeah, I will.
This is going to be the type of Heisman one where it comes down to like, oh, Cam Ward got more third place votes than Genty, right?
Might.
Like Genty got like five fourth place votes and it cost him like 10 points.
Jackson Dart is not too far behind Cam Ward stat wise.
Mm-hmm. He could make a run late.
Yeah.
Easily.
And he might out of the two of them, he might be the one playing meaningful games, right? I mean, Ole Miss is playing spoiler now.
No, they're not. They can win.
They'll be into the playoff. I'm just saying right now they've been picking off a team here and there they probably shouldn't.
And by the way, Ole Miss's last two games are against bad teams, so they're going to stack numbers. Ole Miss is...
Yeah, but who
do they got?
You can book them for Atlanta.
They're playing at Florida and then Mississippi State.
They lost at home to fucking Kentucky.
I know, which is the worst loss of anyone.
But I'm saying that could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could. I don't see it, though. Now that they've got something there to play for, I don't see it. Yeah, Pittsburgh lost again. This was never a real team. That's why I couldn't talk about this all year long to Virginia.
Yeah. It's a tough Virginia team.
Yeah, yeah. Colorado rolled in this one. Jesus Christ, dude. Does he go back into the Heisman conversation?
Yeah.
Sure.
Travis Hunter, too. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, they might both be in New York. They also might be the first and second picks in the draft. If there's a team out there that needs a quarterback, Sanders is the only one in college football that I would take. He's the only one that's got the body for it, and he comes from championship pedigree. People are going to – I'm just saying this is the way NFL teams think.
Yeah.
And I don't think that would be a mistake either. He's
– trying to think who would be ahead of him quarterback-wise.
There's nobody. Like, Gabriel's too small, right?
Cam Ward, maybe.
I don't think so. I don't think Cam Ward is good in the same way that fucking what's-his-nuts from the Bears is good.
Right. Caleb Williams?
Yeah, with time.
Plus, Shador's got the name.
He does. He does.
And he's got a fucking cannon, too.
And his dad will be chirping at all the GMs. Sure. He's known him for years. Like, he'll find a way in there.
It'll be interesting to see how that works out. Does Deion become a fucking coach? in the NFL.
Hey, Rex Ryan this morning. Said head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and then slot in Shador.
Dude,
there.
If I would do that. If I was the Cowboys, I would absolutely do that.
Listen, he's only one everywhere he's been.
Who, Shador?
No, Deion.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
You're, yeah. I can tell you this. Whatever all the – I guess it would depend on how he – Deion Sanders is very well respected.
Yeah.
Right?
Saban loves him. It'll, Nick Saban loves him in real life.
But the style of coaching he does might be better at the college level. And now he's not – Urban Meyer's not going to go walk around kicking people and shit. He can't because half his foot's cut off. Right?
Yeah.
But – he's a player's player. He's going to treat people with respect and shit like that. I think it would be good for an NFL team like the Cowboys, who have a lot of talent but can't get it together in the locker room, to have a guy like him.
To take a look. And he did play for the Cowboys. Jerry loves him. Mm. Got him a Super Bowl.
And if anybody, I mean, honestly, Deion would probably bring in some consultants to help, like Irving and people like that are respected, to get that franchise turned around. It is not good. Like, as much as we like to make fun of the Cowboys, it's not good for the league that the most expensive, valuable franchise in the history of the world is looked at like clowns right now. It's not good for anybody.
You love it. Well, your rivals.
It's not good for anybody.
Yeah. Because I don't like when Michigan's bad either. I don't enjoy it. I want it to be good.
They got 5 losses after winning their natty. It's
holy shit, fantastic. Dude.
Like, eat that. Yeah. Michigan, eat it.
Well, you didn't have them last year. We did. So financially it was fun. But Washington State is back. Exactly.
Bring down
well,
the banner.
We'll find out. We'll
Bring
find
down
out.
The banners.
We will find out this summer. Missouri came back. Your coach said, we are a playoff team.
No.
Is there a path for Missouri?
Yeah. So they're not going to make – it would be almost impossible for them to make the SEC championship game, but they can easily control their – they control their own destiny to get to 10-2.
They're going
to
get smoked this week.
They have a game at South Carolina, which is brutal, so we'll see what happens there. But whatever. I had fun. I had fun watching that game. I don't know if you caught the end of it, but it was fucking insane.
Did not catch the end. It was tight, but there were so many great games going on. I was like, holy. That was the only game I didn't have money on, I think, going on.
Missouri was up 16-9. Oklahoma scores a touchdown with 2 minutes left to tie the game at 16-16. Missouri has the ball driving to try to fucking win the game. Fumbles, Oklahoma, scoop and score. Fuck. Now we're down 7 with like a minute 40 left or something like that. Anyway, we drive, score a touchdown. Tie game. Oklahoma gets the ball to try and drive and kick a field goal or whatever to win. They fumble. We scoop and score. Game over. 30 seconds left.
Jesus.
It was a fucking. I was at a party, just like being very antisocial.
I mean, if Missouri gets through this game with South Carolina, they've got Mississippi State and Arkansas. They will go 6-2 in the SEC and 10-2 overall, just like Georgia and. Probably A&M, because they're probably going to lose to Texas, Tennessee, and Alabama. Now, Alabama and A&M beat them, so they're not going to be in the title game. There's no way for that to happen at this point.
It's impossible.
But they could make it into the top 10 for sure. I mean, honestly, if you look at all the teams, because they beat...
You'd have to put 4 or 5 SEC teams in.
They're going to.
You think so?
Yeah. We need what Missouri really needs, or anyone like Missouri, in the bottom half of that top part of the SEC where you're going to be with 2 losses, is you need either the ACC or the Big 12 or both to become one bid leagues. Mm. That's what you need.
Big 12, I mean, certainly the ACC does not deserve to have 2 teams in the playoffs.
Not this year.
No.
No.
I agree, but...
Clemson and Miami, maybe Miami, and SMU, maybe, but not Clemson and definitely not Pitt.
Clemson doesn't... Pitt's done, but Clemson doesn't deserve it, and in my opinion, and then... yeah, I mean, if Miami, whoever wins the ACC obviously deserves it. Mm. But a 2-loss SMU team or a 2-loss Miami team, I don't know. That's not a great. They play in a shitty conference.
And none of the other. I mean, like the Big 12 is going to get somebody in for sure.
Hopefully, Colorado.
Well, I mean, I would like to see that. Yeah, 100%. You got to think that, and probably BYU is probably going in too.
If BYU,
unless they fucking crumble.
If BYU's only loss is the Big 12 championship, they're getting in.
They're getting in, but I think they're going to lose before that.
And then maybe Boise from out there, and then you're only competing with the Big 10 at that point.
I would love to see Boise.
Oregon, Ohio State, Indiana, and Penn State are probably going to make it, right? There's only so many slots there, so maybe. I mean, but even then, four SEC and 4 Big 10, that is how it should be. 100%, and maybe 5 from one of them. Am I wrong about that?
BYU's got a game against Arizona State in Tempe.
All right. That could be a problem.
Yeah, Arizona State can get you.
That could be a problem. The good news is that it's at the same elevation just about. It's Tempe's just a little bit lower than BYU, so that's usually a competitive game.
What teams did you say from the Big Ten? It would be Ohio State, Penn State,
Penn State, Indiana, and Oregon.
Okay, well, one of those is the conference champion.
Yep.
So that's three bids left. With the So then with the SEC, it's...
Penn State will win out. That I can guarantee because they don't have a schedule. Yeah, they're in.
They're getting tightened up for the playoff at this point.
So then it just comes down to the SEC being like, obviously there's going to be a conference champion there. So then you have probably, I would guess probably four teams.
I know. You probably don't want to be in the SEC championship. Because the loser's going to be out.
If it's a two-loss team, you're like fucked if you're in there.
Here's the other thing,
but
too.
But that's going to be one of the best games of all fucking time.
Oh, I know, but here's the other thing, too. Let's say Indiana beats Ohio State in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Ohio State that would then finish with two losses.
And outside of the championship game, right?
Outside, they wouldn't play in the championship game. They'd be in. Their two losses would be to two top five teams.
Yeah, they're fine. Yeah,
they would be in. Fine. Well, here's the thing. So then that guarantees the Big Ten at four.
Yeah. But even guarantees it. Even 2 years ago in a four-team playoff, almost every year it's three SEC or three Big Ten teams, almost every year, right? If you look back to the history of the BCS, it's almost always three of one of those two, if not two and one.
Correct.
Right? It's the three of the four are always SEC or Big Ten, a combo. Sometimes three from one of them, right?
Yeah.
So it's like this is what we should expect. When you expand it to 12, it should continue to be about 70%.
Yeah, so maybe that's correct. We got some sponsors that put the show on the air. First and foremost, mybookie.com. Promo code Drinkin' Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. It's been great. And then, Bob, we've got the rakebacks here. Tell the audience about the rakebacks for the day one homie listeners here.
Say, for example, you put all your money on Kamala Harris to win the election because you told your wife that you didn't want to have money in a fascist country. Well, mybookie.com will give you a rake back, and
they'll let you. Yeah,
they'll say if you had a bad weekend betting or whatever, they will. They'll toss you a little money back and say, "Hey, we're sorry that you didn't do so well. We know you like to have fun. You like to have a little skin in the game. So here's a little money to play with." That's the rakeback program, or the rakeback system in the MyBookie Plus Rewards program. If you're a regular player on MyBookie, you're in the MyBookie Plus Rewards program. It doesn't cost anything to sign up, doesn't, or anything like that. It's just you are part of it. You qualify for it after a while. So if you're a regular player with us, you're in the MyBookie Plus Rewards program. The rakebacks are huge. I always recommend saving it for the next weekend and just going doing some fucking bananas parlay.
Yeah, which is what I did. So look, man, I've been really good at these teasers on NFL games in particular at 6 and 7 because these games are so tight. God damn it, dude. I've been on fire. I think I've won 5 in the last 2 weekends. Highly look at that. I'm going to do the same tonight here after the ads are over for Dolphins-Rams as well. Those are really fucking fun. With the spreads as close as they are and these games as close as they are, that +6 to 7 points, because you can go 6.5 too, really helps with all of this. And you can win a lot of money. Usually pays off at 3.5 to 1, sometimes 4 to 1 if you get more teams in there. Their teasers are great. The parlays are great. The rakebacks are awesome. And then we're doing a huge thing with my bookie this weekend where if you guess the round in a TKO or a KO or a decision or split decision, we're going to give you a free signed Mike Tyson boxing glove that's right in front of your face here. D'Anthony and I will make the video. Just follow us on our Instagram accounts over there. And just the first one to pick the winner of the fight in the round or a decision, you know, it could be a draw or whatever you think there, you will win this. First one to have it up, and we will send you that. That fight is on Friday night, live on Netflix. You do not have to pay pay-per-view for it. It is 8 o'clock. There is traditional undercards, same as any other championship fight. However, the rules are a little different for Mike Tyson, Jake Paul. I'll go over those after the break here when we make our picks for that fight, because it is this Friday night. Also, Saturday night, UFC. Big card, John Jones is on there. We'll go over those picks. You can make all those picks on mybookie.com as well. Next up is drinkingbrostickets.com. If you want tickets for any of this, including the Mike Tyson fight, it's at Jerry World. So if you're out there in Dallas or near there and you're like, "Hey, man, I just want to go see Mike Tyson one more time," it's 90,000 seats. You can get tickets for pretty fucking cheap there if you just want to go and see Mike Tyson walk out one last time at the age of 58 years old. Tickets are pretty cheap. You can get them for college tickets, rodeos, anything on there. It's just about $10 cheaper than StubHub. Last but not least, we got hardafseltzer.com. Look, the WeFunder is back open. Same shares, same everything. Had to pass the SEC audits. You can actually own the company. We're leaving 30% of the company ownership for you guys. We took this from the Packers. We wanted to do the same thing. If you guys are going to go out and support it, you might as well help own the company. Go to WeFunder.com/HardAFSeltzer to invest today. And we're live in 12 states, and we will be live in the state of Pennsylvania in March. Signed a three-year deal with Penn State over there, so those cans will be everywhere. And then, D'Anthony, I was on a call this morning for 19 twos. We've never had a can that big, one of those tall boys of an 8%er like that. Holy shit.
Well, dude. In Illinois.
16.
Yeah, I guess that's another 16, 3 ounces. Dude. Yeah.
I mean, holy shit.
That's another quarter can. We keep amping it up. I recommend if you live anywhere near that area, go to an Illinois football game and just watch the crowd as the game goes on.
Oh my God, it's awesome.
With those things.
Just watch the student section and they're holding them up too. Yeah, like
it looks like this. It looks like one of those, remember those things you got at Christmas when you were a child? It's like a big inflatable clown with sand in the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And it just wobbles around all the time. That's what the entire fucking crowd looked like by the end of the game.
Sales have been through the roof there. We'll also be in their basketball stadiums all through basketball season. So don't worry about it. We're in every single stadium for the next 3 years in University of Illinois. And those 16s, by the way, will also be switched to 19.2s in the stadium. So,
well, R.I.P.
R.I.P. It's going to be fun, really fun.
Drink responsibly.
So please. Is tonight's game. I'm actually amped about this. Dolphins at the Rams. This is Rams -2.5. Over-unders 48.5. Mostly everybody's healthy here. Tyreek Hill, I believe, might be a game-time decision, which could fuck me in fantasy. D'Anthony, we'll start with you. Who you got? This is Rams -2.5 against the Dolphins tonight.
Yeah, I think I'll take the Rams. They seem to have, one, gotten healthy. That's the most important part. Nakua's back. Well, mm-hmm. He was banged up early in the season. He missed most of a game because he punched him in the face.
Yes, last week.
Maybe he's mentally healthy now.
Yeah, hope so.
Save it for later in the game, Nakua. We want to see you play.
And you're on my fantasy fucking team, league, dude. Jesus Christ.
But, you know, him and Kupp on the same team is not fair for anybody.
No.
Especially not with Matt Stafford. I think they've gotten it together in their defense. They're another defense that's playing way better than I thought they were going to be. I mean, they lost Aaron Donald for fuck's sake.
They're 4-4. They still have a shot in the shitty NFC. They need this game. So you're taking the Rams?
I think this is a knockout game for the – not that the Dolphins are in contention anyways because they play in a relatively tough division over there. But mm-hmm. this is the end of their season. I think Tua's done after this game.
What do you mean, done for the year?
I wouldn't play him anymore. Why? Why risk it when you can't? Yeah. Like, if you're 2-7 at that point, don't fucking risk him anymore. Go let him get stem cells and fucking do some DMT, get his brain right again so he can play next year.
And if he's out, I think Tyreek will also sit out the rest of the year. He's got this nagging wrist injury.
You're spending a fuckload of money on these people. Don't do it for nothing. Send them to get help. Maybe the fans are pissed or whatever, but they won't be pissed when everybody's healthy and playing well next year.
And get draft picks.
Yeah. Draft picks. That's
it. Do something, yeah.
Because you'll be a top five pick team.
Yeah, they've already got. I mean, they got a solid squad already. They're kind of soft on defense. You get.
Who's that kid from Penn State? Abdul Carter.
Yeah, God damn. Grab that motherfucker, and then you know maybe an early first round linebacker or a defensive back or something like that. Now you got to you got to get somebody hard on that fucking defense.
I love that Abdul Carter kid from Penn State.
Yeah, he's great. He's the best edge rusher in college football.
He's fun,
right now.
Man. Who you got, Delco?
I will take the over and cheer for points.
48.5. That's not bad. Yeah, that's not bad.
It would be nice on a Monday night after. You know, I do my workout. I eat two steaks. Mm-hmm. Actually, what I've been doing lately is a steak and like 6 eggs.
There you go.
You know, because the egg yolks make a nice dipping sauce.
Sure.
You fucking bitches.
Yeah.
Anyways, it would be nice to see like a fucking 90-point game.
Yeah.
On Monday night.
I'll be up.
Fucking love. Big scoring games on Monday and Thursday are two of my favorite things.
Yeah. What do you got, Bob?
I prefer to fast. So I'll take the under And
how are you taking the under in Dolphins Rams? The fuck are you talking about?
I'm just kidding. I'll take the Rams. I'm not going to overthink it. The Rams are the home team. By the way, this is funny because this will be one of those few Rams games that isn't packed to the gills with opposing fans. Because even though the Dolphins have a realer fan base than the Rams, it's still kind of
not
like...
Not much.
No.
Well, you know, the interesting thing...
The Dolphins do have a good fan base.
It's
South Florida, but it's not Miami.
None of the Dolphins fans even live in Florida. They live all over the it's a bigger diaspora than Jews. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and there's overlap.
Quite a bit, yeah. But that's a geographical situation.
Yeah. But there it's just like this isn't gonna be a game where it's like, God damn, there's a bunch of Niners fans or like think of like a cold weather team that's just like, I wanna go to LA, it's November, it's cold. Like this is just gonna be an empty stadium.
There's plenty of Dolphins fans. They all live in Jupiter, Hope Sound.
I'm not saying there aren't Dolphin fans. It's obviously a better fan base than the LA Rams. But they don't travel.
No.
And they're not, I would put them like pretty middle of the pack in terms of passion in the NFL. So this is going to be like a very quiet stadium.
Tickets are 70
mainly
bucks.
Because they have like two or three wins. That's kind of it.
Tickets are 70 bucks on drinkabrostickets.com. I mean, it is what it is. I'm going to do this two different ways. Give me the Rams -2.5. Love those teasers on my bookies. So I'm going to. Shit, I'm gonna cross the zeros on this because I do that and I don't care. Take LA +5.5 and then also drop that over down to 41.5 as well. Two different bets. You'll see those bet slips after the show in there to 41.5. And that way I can root for the everything and watch the entire game and definitely take that over. All right, let's get to the Mike Tyson, Jake Paul predictions here. I'm gonna go over some quick rules. For those of you who haven't been following here, gloves a little heavier, 14-ounce gloves in this fight. Rounds will be 2 minutes instead of three due to the cardio, obviously, of a 58-year-old man in the gym. And it is an 8-round fight. Dan, we'll start with you. Who do you got, Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul?
You said 8 rounds?
8, correct.
I'll take...
This is a sanctioned fight, by the way. This is not an exhibition. So this will go on a win-loss record, including Tyson's, who hasn't had a professional fight since 05.
I'll take Tyson in the second round.
Okay.
TKO or knockout.
Okay.
But if it goes the distance, Jake will win.
Do I get plus money on Tyson no matter what?
I'm looking it up right now because, again, my bookie's doing a huge thing for that. So right now, Tyson is at +180. For those of you at home, that is relatively 2-1 there. The over-under is surprising in this. It's 5.5 rounds.
Yeah, I don't believe my prediction here, but I'm going to go with Mike Tyson just because I want to see it.
Heart. Yep.
I just want to see him knock out Jake Paul.
Same. And he looks good. Like, look, the training videos look
just
great.
Just go for
right
it.
Now.
First, like, 3 rounds, gas it all. Who cares?
Yeah.
Well, that's
like,
what he's always
decision,
done.
That's what he's always done.
You don't
his
have to tell
career.
Mike Tyson, dude. That's why Buster Douglas whipped his ass because it went 15. 12.
Yeah.
Was it 10 or 12?
It was 10, yeah. He got to 10.
Jake
it
Paul's mom fight. Didn't die, right? So we don't have to worry about the Buster Douglas syndrome.
No, I mean, no. I think that Jake just wants to win.
Yeah. He just wants to win.
You don't need your mom to die to win. The match, I don't think.
If you're Buster Douglas, you do.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Bob, who you got?
Tyson knockout round 3.
I think
first off, as much as I think, like, if nothing mattered, Tyson would probably could and would probably get him in 1 or 2, but like it just feels like they're not going to let this thing be that short.
Look, a knockout on Netflix, live on Netflix, the first round knockout of Mike Tyson. I don't think they would mind. I really don't. Yeah. I mean, it's because the clip's going to be played around the world. Yeah. So that Netflix logo, and that's what they're looking for. And then that'll bleed into the WWE contract that they have. And they're looking to sign some more live sports on Netflix over there. I'm also taking Mike Tyson in round 3.
Well, the under
knockout
is 5.5 and it's -104. That's not bad.
So Jake Paul's going to win a hug fest.
If that happens, dude,
everybody would be pissed.
I just remember, and here's the other thing too. If you remember, I don't care what anyone says. Floyd Mayweather knocked out his brother
Logan,
and caught him.
That appears to be the case.
I was there. I didn't think so.
Seeing it live, we weren't very far away. Seeing it live, you couldn't really tell because Logan was doing what smart boxers do, especially if you're taller than the other guy, lean on him, it wears his legs down. That's a smart thing to do. That's what it looked like in real time. On the replay, it looks like he got his bell rung.
On the replay, it did. Yeah. But like in live, it didn't. And like, I really can't tell you how humid it was in that goddamn stadium.
Yeah.
Don't ever fight a boxing match outdoors.
No, I mean, the Thriller in Manila, can you imagine that?
In today's world?
Fuck's
no.
Sake,
no,
man.
Dude.
When
no.
they initially announced Fight Island during COVID, I thought they were literally going to fight.
That's
outside.
What I thought.
I thought they were going to fight.
I did too.
One stupid. Of the most famous Ali matches of all time, the Thriller in Manila.
Yeah, but that's what
notably humid place.
That's what got his brains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should have been the Rumble and the fucking Bumble. I mean, it was that jumbled him up forever, dude.
So, Tyson by KO is plus 250.
Right. That's the only way.
They don't have all the rounds out yet.
All right.
That's the only way he'd win.
The rounds will come out later in the week. So I would definitely, no matter what bet you're going to make on which guy, definitely take that one, sprinkle that one at plus 250. That's 2.5 to 1 for Tyson to knock somebody out. You should always take that. Tyson, and then Jake by decision is plus 370. I'm betting that too.
Oh, my God. He's not going to knock Tyson out.
I don't think so, no.
No.
I mean, not that Jake doesn't have knockout power. He can definitely knock people out.
It just doesn't feel like that.
Like, Tyson's a really good boxer with good head movement.
But he
doesn't
old.
Get hit hard very much.
Yeah.
He's old, fair enough. Yeah, but he's also a professional boxer. Like, he's been doing this.
If you
like the way that you use your knees to move your head instead of using your head, your neck to move your head. I don't know if, have you guys ever boxed before?
No.
Like, watch the difference. Go look this up afterwards. The correct way to keep your head moving while you're fighting, it's you use your knees, not your neck or your shoulders.
You take
right?
a 45-pound plate. You take a chain. You then put the chain in your mouth. And
correct.
Your neck up.
No, don't do that. No.
But will it go the teeth out. If you go the distance, it's plus 160. I mean, there's a lot of...
That's no matter what, right?
No matter what. So if you... There's a lot of great things to bet on here. Mm-hmm. Mike Tyson by decision is plus 900.
I assume the rounds will come out later in the week. We'll see that later in the week. I'll probably sprinkle 2 and 3 for Tyson. And plus, I'm definitely taking plus 370 for Jake to go the distance, and I'm taking plus 250 for Mike to knock him out. Those are my bets.
Jake Paul by decision is plus 370.
Yeah, that's what I said.
God damn, dude.
That's
a
great
bet.
What
do they think is most likely to happen? What does my bookie think is most likely to happen?
Paul KO.
Paul knocking him out?
Yes. Minus 105.
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
This is a hard... I mean,
he's 58 years old.
Yeah.
But that, again... Go on to YouTube after this show, after you're done watching the show, or after you're done doing whatever you're doing. If you're masturbating, clean off your chest, sure. Go to YouTube, watch this. The correct way to move your head when you're fighting is to use your knees and dip, not to move your head. Like most amateur fighters will just move their head and neck. And I think Tyson will be able to avoid big hits, but like that way.
This is the only real fighter Jake has faced. It's like, like a real one. I know he's 58, but it's still
Anderson Silva.
Well, the last time, he's a striker with his legs more than his hands, to be honest. But
he's still pretty.
Silva's
he's
one of the best of all time.
Now,
yeah, he's a pretty good boxer. Yeah. And then who is it? Woodley?
No, not Woodley. Was he fought
Tyson Fury?
Tyson Fury's brother, the younger.
Now,
one.
Who was the black MMA guy he fought?
Oh, Woodley. Yeah, he knocked out Woodley.
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
So Woodley, Nate Robinson. Woodley moves like a guy who's about to fucking do a double leg takedown, right? So he's not moving. He's not bending his legs when he's fucking moving his head around, and he got popped, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen to Tyson. When's the last time you haven't seen him get knocked out? Really?
No.
Not like that.
No. I was there. I think the last time I was at the Tyson Lewis fight in Memphis. That was a violent knockout.
Lennox Lewis is one of the most accurate strikers in the history of boxing.
It was
too.
A great fight
for a heavyweight, at least.
I'm taking my son. So my son loves Jake Paul, and obviously I love Mike Tyson.
Speaking of which,
taking my son to this fight, so I'll be there on Friday night.
Speaking of Gary and his son,
are they going?
I think so.
Okay.
Speaking of your son and just like liking influencers in general and stuff like that, did you see the video Jake Paul put out of him and Mike Tyson just like kissing over and over and over again?
I saw that, but I didn't understand it. And I didn't know if it was AI.
It was AI.
Did he do it?
Yes. Jake Paul put it out on Instagram. It's like him and Mike Tyson just like making out.
Making out in the middle of the...
A bunch.
Is that what we are with AI, where it's just dudes making out with other dudes now on AI?
But like, yeah. That wasn't me, bro. That was AI.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not gay.
I'm not, like, bro,
it
I'm
just
not
got
gay.
Progressively gayer. It's so funny.
Bro, I'm not gay, bro. I'm not gay. Aaron Rodgers says he doesn't look like he's having a good time this year. No shit. Basketball. Have you guys been following basketball at all?
I know it just got
picked up. What happened to Chet Holmgren?
He's got a fractured hip bone or something like that.
He'll be out for 8 to 10 weeks.
Yeah, it's 8 to 10, but he may never recover.
He'll come back for the playoffs and just start swatting Wemby out of the fucking arena.
Wemby won't even mention him by name.
Yeah, Wemby's afraid.
Sad.
I'm sure he won't.
Sad little scared French boy.
Yeah, it seems as if somebody called his injuries on the show. I can't remember who it was. So, yeah, he's out again, huh? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he was
hip. By the way, it's hard to come back from.
He's only one of the best big men last year.
He'll be fine. I think it's well-deserved rest, to be honest.
And Greg Oden had a great year one time, too.
Not like Chet.
He'll be fresh for the playoffs.
The Cavaliers are 11-0.
Yawn.
Is that real?
Cleveland is one of the best young teams in basketball. They've got Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell's there. They got Evan Mobley and Jarrett Allen.
They had this last year.
Boston looks good, 9-2.
Boston looks great. They'll get bored somewhere in the middle of the season and probably lose some games, but they're really good. Phoenix looks pretty good, but we'll see. They haven't really played that much.
I didn't know Kevin Durant was 37, by the way.
The Thunder, Warriors, Nuggets, Grizzlies, all good teams. Minnesota's a good team, too. There's a lot of good teams in the West.
People sleep on the Grizzlies because Ja Morant loves guns, but they were really fucking good before he got hurt and then missed like another season or whatever.
Yeah.
And their roster with Morant there is complete. Like, they have a pretty good fucking roster. In I forget who's on it.
Scottie Pippen Jr. is on it.
Is he really?
Go ahead and jot that down.
Ja
Morant, Marcus Smart, who's got championship pedigree. Desmond Bane. They're all three of those guys are out right now with injuries.
Oh yeah, I forgot Marcus Smart's in there, but Jaren Jackson Jr.
Exactly.
I don't hate Zach Edey for some reason, even though I used to.
How's he year wise? I picked him for rookie of the year.
11.5.
11 and 6 rebounds.
Yeah. Looks good.
That's all right.
Free throw 56.5%.
Yeah, so hack a Zach.
Yeah. He's a liability in the modern NBA. So his playing time, it's a problem. If you're shooting 56% from the free throw line, you're not going to play the last 8 minutes of the game much, to be honest. You can't.
Yeah. And speaking of a liability, Bronny James has been sent to the G League.
Well, they say that was always the plan. I've never heard them say that before.
Not only that, but why do you pay a guy millions of dollars to go to the G League?
Well, like money's not real in the NBA anyways.
It's not, but that could have gone to somebody else Lakers.
Because you can only pay LeBron so much.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I think Bronny's going to end up being a pretty good role player in the NBA at some point.
I don't think he makes it out of the G League.
He's got good vision on the court.
He's going to be over in China in 2 years.
Maybe.
He's going to be playing for the Shanghai Sharks.
Maybe. Yep. I think he's got it. I think he's got enough talent. It's just...
He had 2 points in the G League game. Like the other, like I'll put it this way: the leading scorer in that G League game was 28. That's where you should be.
That's not true. He's only scoring two. Nobody in the G League averages 25 points a game.
They're the only guys that really make it out of the G League. It's not a lot that actually end up coming up. So like, you've got to be the best of the best in the G League. Otherwise, it's a lot of these guys in the fucking
draft.
There's
dudes in the G League that drop like 30 points.
100%.
Yeah, but they're not good enough. Man in the NBA.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
It's
weird.
G League games are funny, too, because you'll go to it and it'll just be like all these college players you forgot existed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember I went to one once and it was a Missouri point guard who I didn't realize he was on one of the teams, Phil Pressey. And then another dude who I was just staring at for like 20 minutes being like, how do I know you? And just he played for Illinois for a while. He was on some really good Illinois teams, also a point guard. And I was just like, oh, yeah. And then there's like two other dudes. It was just like college flashbacks. It was really funny.
College basketball is back, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Big fan of college basketball.
Kansas got another big win over the weekend against North Carolina, I believe. It's an interesting field so far. KU's kind of the head and shoulders number one team right now, I think. But
what about Cooper Flagg?
Duke is my preseason pick to win it all. Yeah. Their roster's fucking crazy. I love this Duke team.
I do too. This Cooper Flagg kid is as good as advertised. Mm-hmm. It looks like so far. So this college basketball season is going to be really, really fucking fun, man.
All over the place. But the real big news in college basketball is Florida's coach.
What about what's his story?
He might have been stalking and sending DPs to a lot of people, to a lot of chicks.
Oh.
Yeah.
He was just sending random DPs to people?
Sliding into DMs and then sliding dick pics into DMs.
I thought you meant like
who is this guy? Oh, that would have been great.
He's just sending porn videos.
Who?
With a question mark?
Todd Golden? Do you remember
the end of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas where Benicio Del Toro writes backdoor beauty with a question mark on it on a napkin and passes it to the waitress?
Yeah.
That's what he did.
That's what he did. Yeah. Well, with his dick.
Yeah. So it was actually, this was all broken by the student newspaper there because local media doesn't exist anymore, really.
Look at that. Good for them.
Yeah, the alligators. Hell yeah. So two, like, UF students broke the story.
Did he send photos to one of the journalists?
He was sending photos to UF students. Yeah. He was sliding.
Are you... Is that real?
Yes, you're sending dick pics and stalking you hot chicks at UF.
Wait, who are we talking about?
The head coach of Florida. The Gators
basketball coach.
They're, not a player.
No.
No, a coach.
And they're number 20 right now in the nation.
Hey, it's working.
I think they have a player who's like 7'9 or something like
they
that.
Do.
They
yeah.
do. That's in a, like, that's just a monstrosity.
Yeah, he's going right to a museum as soon as the season's over.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
he'll be dead. Yeah. Nobody that tall lives.
He can't be that tall.
So he's 30. Oh, he's a year older than me. He's 39, father of two. Yeah, he was
happily married.
Well, he was.
Yeah, wasn't so
I don't
bad.
Think that breaks it up as long as you're winning. I mean, if you're losing games after all that,
you know. right.
Maybe he was on the rebound. That's why he sent in all the photos.
But there was like a chick. I think there was one thing I read where like a chick like posted something on Instagram and it had her location or whatever. And he was like, "Oh, I'll be there in a minute," and just like showed up and started following her in his car and stuff like that. A lot of dick pics. It's a fun story. I highly recommend looking into it.
Okay. I'll check that out. Jack Del Rio just resigned from Wisconsin. He got a bad DUI over there. I didn't realize
Jack Del Rio was at Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's been a rough 2 years for him because last year he told somebody to get fucked about something.
Yep.
And the Redskins shook hand.
Yeah. And
I don't know what it was.
He pulled into a car at 12:30. It's not even that late, dude. It drove through a fence. It's landed in somebody's yard there.
I didn't think DUI. Driving drunk was illegal in Wisconsin.
It shouldn't be.
When I worked in Wisconsin, this is the weirdest shit ever. So I lived and worked in Wisconsin for a bit. One, every bar you went into, there were babies in there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even mean Applebee's. I'm talking about a bar that's got dirt on the ground.
Right.
It stinks in there. There's babies.
And it's not like a place here where like you go to a distillery and there's a ton of families.
No. There's no playground at these bars.
Right. Yeah.
No playgrounds. There's pig's feet on the fucking table.
People blowing smoke in babies'
yes,
faces.
Yes, yeah. Correct.
Drinking their spotted cows.
And, New Glarus, yeah. And it's the only place I've ever been where it was kind of... It was just part of the culture to have two drinks at lunch every fucking day.
Sure.
Every day. Like Wisconsin. The two martini lunch that you hear about and with businessmen who are just walking around shit-faced all the time, that's just everybody in Wisconsin.
Well, did you hear about the girl this weekend, the Packers fan? She wears this number 10 jersey to all the things. She only fucks dudes in their 60s through 80s because she's a Wisconsin 10, and she's even got the jersey for it. And she's currently making $80,000 a month fucking these old men. She's posting pictures with them at games, Packers games, and all that other stuff. And good for her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mind fucking these old dudes.
Well, she's doing the Lord's work.
80 grand a month.
Yeah.
I mean, she's not doing it for free.
No.
Jack Del Rio said that J6 was just a dust up. And he got fired for that.
That's right.
That's exactly what it was.
In D.C.?
Yeah.
In
D.C. Yeah, it was the Redskins.
Was he there? Is he about to get prosecuted?
Nah,
not anymore.
Trump pardoned him anyways.
Yeah, that's all over now. Bears not changing quarterbacks. They're saying Williams is our starter despite how shitty he's been, so they're going to ride with him. Look, if the Bears have to make a statement about
why
who their starting quarterback is.
Why would you bench your rookie quarterback? That's so dumb. I mean, Bryce Young's 1-2 straight now.
He did say, though, that everything else is on the table. The head coach of the Bears over there.
Oh, he's going to get fired. That's why. It's his last year.
Yeesh. So he's saying we're going to stick with Caleb. So we'll close it out with that today. Join us for Drinking Bros Fake News on Patreon here. We'll be live in about, that's 1:48 right now, top of the hour, 2 o'clock here. So join us in 12 minutes on Patreon for Drinking Bros Podcast. Trump is starting to stack his new appointments, and we'll go over all of them for his cabinet positions here on that show. Thank you for tuning in. Bet with us or against us on mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Go to iTunes, rate this show a 5-star and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify. It's just a 5-star and you can walk away. For D'Anthony D'Anthony Holloway, Delco Dan, Hot Bob, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Monday Morning Recap. Good morning, everyone.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's BARTESIAN.com/cocktail.